into Hosea chapter 4. I'll give you a minute to find it. Hosea chapter 4 will be the first verse that we deal with this morning. But let's pray as we get into the Word of God today and ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Lord, we thank you that you're here with us and you're coming to bring life and light and revelation. Lord, that darkness is being dispelled from our life, confusion, ignorance, and lack. All of these things are being dissipated from our life as we hear the Word of God and obey it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, we had a great Easter Sunday last week, and I want to encourage you not to belittle the fact that Christians in the West meet on Sunday. Sunday is a very special day to us because it is the first day of the week, and it is the day that our Lord rose from the dead. Now, he could have risen on Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, any other day. He could have picked any other day. He specifically rose on Sunday. And ever since, the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm talking about believers worldwide, have hallowed the first day of the week as a day of worship. We call it the Lord's Day.
That's right.
And I think it's kind of cool that it's also in the name S-U-N, sun, like the sun rising, right? The sun, S-O-N, rose on Sunday. You get it? It's kind of a joint word thing, okay? You know, our forefathers worshipped on Sunday. Jesus appeared to his disciples that Sunday night. And Thomas was missing. Thomas was not at church. He was probably at home second-guessing himself. We call him Doubting Thomas. A week later, Jesus appeared again on what day? Sunday. And Thomas happened to be there. And Jesus dispelled his doubts. Listen, when you come to church, Jesus will dispel your doubts. So come to church. Amen? It's very important. It is the Lord's Day. I'm going to tell you this especially. The devil will fight you ultra hard. He does not care if you're going to an Astros game on Saturday, but he does not want you in church on Sunday. Because church will destroy his works. You people that have been healed in your body physically, Jesus is destroying the works of Satan in your body because you came to church. I'm not saying you can't get healed at home, but it happened here for several of you. For Miss Bunny and Brother Mike, Robert. Amen. It happened because they were in the house of God. Amen?
Yes.
It's a special day. It's a special place to be. Wednesday night, we heard from Rose. Rose did a great job sharing the Word of God with us. We have, in case you didn't know, we also have church on Wednesday. For those of you that are hungry for more. And we meet at, not here, but at Rotary House on Johnson Street here in town where the ladies had their meeting yesterday. We meet there at Wednesdays at 7 for 1 hour. And she brought a great word the other night. He'll do it again, just not the same way. That was excellent, Rose. Thank you. And then by Friday, the week ended with what? An earthquake in New York. What an exciting week. Resurrection Day, great Wednesday service, great ladies meeting, and an earthquake in New York. You know, the Bible told us this would happen in the end times. Diverse places, Jesus said in Matthew 24. You know, I heard an interview the other day. This is not part of my message, but I'll share it with you. I heard an interview with a gal who, a young lady, sounded like college age. It was over the radio. They were talking. And they interviewed her, and she was hanging around New York. She was there for like a bachelorette party for her friend who was getting married. And the news broadcast, maybe some of you heard this on Fox News, they asked her, they said, well, are you still going to go to the wedding? And she said, of course. I'm not afraid of nothing. And it reminded me of what Jesus said in Matthew 24, that people were eating, drinking, giving in marriage, right up till the day that the flood came.
Wow.
Now, none of those things are wrong. We have to eat, we have to drink, and marriage is a good thing. But the point was, Jesus said, life will go on as usual, even in the end times. In other words, people won't even take note of the signs. When was the last time there was an earthquake in New York? I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't remember what they said. How many years ago? Anybody? I don't know. It's a sign.
Yes.
And people ought to stop and take note.
Yes.
And if their life's not right with Jesus, they ought to go, you know what? I was going to go to a wedding this weekend, but I'm going to church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just saying it as an example, right? It might ought to make people stop in their tracks and say, you know what? Whoa. Maybe this end times thing, maybe there's something to it. That's just a thought I had. Are you in Hosea 4?
Yes.
I gave you plenty of time to find it. If you haven't got it by now, just listen. Daniel, Hosea. Let me get there. Hosea chapter 4. Oh, someone hid Hosea from me. Okay, there it is. Hosea 4, verse 6. Look what it says there. Some of you have this verse memorized. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We call that ignorance, right? Where there's no knowledge, there's ignorance. We don't mean that as a slur on somebody. It's just it's an apt description of a condition. If there's no knowledge, there's ignorance. And you could go, well, you know, it's not fair because God didn't tell me. But look what the next part of the verse says. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. So it's not a case that many times that people didn't get a chance to learn or didn't get a chance to hear or to know, but they rejected the knowledge. He said, they're my people. They're in ignorance, but they're in ignorance because they've rejected knowledge. You know, Romans 1 talks about this. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. So men are without excuse. Some people truly don't know, and that's why we come to church. So you can know. Amen? Do you know all there is to know about Jesus? Neither do I. I even come to church to learn. Because what I teach you, I'm learning myself. Amen? And I don't want to be in ignorance. I want to be in the light.
Yes.
Amen? I don't want to be destroyed. What destroys people? Lack of knowledge. That's what it says there. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And many times they have rejected knowledge. So Satan hates it when you come to church. This is not my message, but I'm going to harp on it just a bit, so y'all just have to listen. Mm-hmm. He will fight you tooth and nail to keep you out of church. Yes. On the week that you're having the week from hell, you ought to run to church.
Yes.
Because you know, the harder he's fighting you, the bigger the blessing is that's coming your way when you get there.
Right.
Know that. If you haven't learned, if you're new to Christianity, you don't know that. But I'm telling you, this is a principle. This is a tried and true fact. The weeks, the days, the nights, the mornings that you're having the hardest time to get into the house of God, Satan knows there's something powerful going to take place when you get there.
That's right.
Ought to make you put your Sunday clothes on faster and step on the gas harder. Why? Because he hates the seed. He hates the seed. He told the woman in Genesis chapter 3, right after sin, Jesus, the first prophecy ever given about Jesus, a seed will come from you, Eve, and he will crush the head of the serpent. The serpent will bruise his heel. What does that mean? He would strike at Jesus to take his life at the cross, but in the process, Jesus would crush his head. First prophecy about the Messiah given right there. And do you know that within about 6 chapters or so, we see the earth corrupted with fallen angels having intercourse with women. If you interpret it that way, in Genesis chapter 9, it says that when God approached Noah and said, I'm going to wash the earth, I'm going to flood the earth, cleanse it, what had happened is the human race had been mixed with a spiritual, I don't know how that works, I don't want to think about it. Anyways, it was a mix-up.
Right.
Because the devil was trying since chapter 3 of Genesis to destroy the seed. He was after the seed, the Messiah, the promised one. So he came to mix. And the Bible tells us in the book of Jude, those angels that got involved in that have been bound with special chains till the day of judgment. They're getting an extra punishment. But this is also where giants came from. Greek mythology. Why did they have big cyclopses and overgrown men and, you know, big muscle men? Because in reality, on the earth, there was a season in which giants walked the earth. They were the offshoot of this relationship between angels and women. Why do you bring that up, Pastor? Because I'm trying to tell you it's important to get to church. The devil's after the seed.
That's right.
God made a promise to his children in Egypt. He said, there's a deliverer that's going to come. And so what did Satan do? He said, he moved on Pharaoh's heart to throw all the babies in the crocodile-infested river there, the Nile River. Why? Because he thought that promise was talking about the Messiah. It was talking about Moses. He missed. That deliverer dodged a bullet, praise God, because of his mother's obedience, hiding him in the basket. You've seen it, right? Moses, right? Last Sunday, it was on TV. So come to church. Now, last Sunday, we talked about justification. I want to follow on the heels of that message just with this is Benefit Sunday. Last Sunday, we talked about what Jesus gave us in his resurrection. He gave us justification. Remember that?
Yep.
Now, if you weren't here, you can go back and listen to it. It's on the website. I want to talk about, and I used an analogy last week about the traffic cop, and this has been a very real experience, I must confess, before in my life. You get pulled over, and you're just crying for mercy the whole time he's walking up to your car, right? Because you know you were a few miles over the limit. And They come up and they give you a warning, thank the Lord, instead of a ticket. So you didn't have to pay the penalty. Why? Because the police officer was merciful. In a sense, someone, a lawyer, a good, you know, a crooked, you know, just a really nail 'em kind of lawyer, could have stepped up to the window of your car at that moment and said, "Hold it. Now, Mr. Officer, I'm going to indict you for not keeping the law. This citizen broke the law, and you're letting him off the hook," right? And he would be right in saying that, in a sense, because mercy sometimes means we don't apply the whole law. But in our redemption, God justly let us off the hook. And what I mean by that is somebody did pay the price. Somebody did actually pay the ticket. God didn't just say, "Okay, I'm grading on the curve this way. You know, the Old Testament, I killed everybody. New Testament, since Jesus came, I'm grading on the curve. So I'm going to let people off the hook." No, that's not how God operates. God sent his son to the cross to pay the full penalty. And that's why the earth had to go dark, because the judgment upon Jesus for all of humankind was so hideous. No one could look upon it. Thank God he turned the lights off for 3 hours, right? By the way, Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours. You know, I got to thinking about this. If God could put us in place of Jesus for even a second, can you imagine just the, if you could just step onto the cross for a second, you'd be screaming in pain. The splinters up your back, the open wounds on your back from the whippings. We couldn't have borne a second of it. What a strong Savior we have. Amen. Yes. To hang there for 6 hours in that condition. 6 hours. I don't know why God had to do it. I know six is the symbol of man. He loves man. And so he fulfilled the judgment against man's sin in hanging Jesus there for 6 hours. But we said this last week. We said Jesus, I made this remark. I said justice was served so that mercy could be unleashed. Do you remember that? That's a recap. Justice was served. Amen. God didn't just be merciful to our sin. He served up the justice that was meet, that was due our sin, but he served it on his son. Aren't you glad? I didn't have to hang on a cross. I didn't have to go to hell. But Jesus hung there for me. Amen. Jesus went to the lower parts of the earth for me and then rose again. Praise the Lord. And through his death in our place, Jesus has literally opened the floodgates of God's blessing for you and I. That's what I want to preach about today a little bit in what little time I have left. This hasn't been preached enough, I'll be honest with you, because when we talk about that word blessing, many times people associate it strictly with money. And when a preacher starts talking about, "Oh, God wants to bless you," well, people start getting a little nervous. "Oh, Pastor, you're talking about that money thing again. I don't know about that." You know, people, we've seen people fall with money, you know. And we're so tied into the corrupt nature. We're so tied into the temptation of the old nature to get into greed and selfishness and hoarding that we shy away from the topic of blessing. But I'm telling you, saints, Jesus bore the full brunt of our penalty so that we could receive every blessing that is due him. That's the good news of the gospel. You know, the first group that Jesus said in Luke 4 that the anointing was for who? To preach the gospel to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. I got good news for you here today. The poor doesn't just mean you're absolutely destitute. It just means you're lacking. If you're here in the house today and you're lacking in such a way that you're feeling this kind of eking struggle with regard to finances and making ends meet and getting your material world kind of set up in peace, I'm telling you, there's good news for you. And the good news is Jesus bore all of your due punishment. I'll go one step further. Even your bad management of money, if that be the reason why you're struggling. Jesus even bore that so that you could be unleashed with goodness. Amen. So that you could be just overrun with goodness. I could say it this way. Jesus suffered to make you rich. Now that'll throw some sacred cows in a tizzy right there. But it's true. 2 Corinthians 9:8. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That you through his poverty might be made rich. That's in Scripture. And it's not just talking about spiritual riches. In the context, read it, 2 Corinthians 9. It's talking about material goods. It's talking about material supply. Turn to Genesis chapter 24 in your Bibles, please. Genesis 24. I'm going to talk with you briefly about the blessing of Abraham today. We're going to look at the life of Abraham. We're doing the overview, not the detailed view. Okay, we're doing the flyby. Genesis 24, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Genesis 24:1, in the King James it reads this way, "And Abraham was old, That's not a bad thing, by the way. If you think about it, back then, to be old was an honor. You think about the mortality rate. No dentistry, no modern medicine back in those days. 40 to 60 probably was the average lifespan. Probably 40. I haven't studied it out, but I know it was really much lower than today. Abraham was old. Hallelujah. That's a great thing. He lived a good while. He was well stricken in age, not in physical condition, mind you. Well, that's worth underlining. That's a whole different message right there. I just felt the sermon just shoot off into the universe. He was well stricken in age, not in his body. Amen? How many of you know you can be old and strong?
Amen.
You'd be like an old tall tree that's still got solid roots. Amen? It's not going anywhere. That's what it's saying there. He was well stricken in age, not in his body. And the Lord had blessed Abraham, note this, underline it, highlight it, in all things. In all things. So we're not just talking about money when we say blessing. God wants you to be blessed. Although it does include money. Amen? Amen. How many of you are glad it includes money?
Amen.
I'm okay with that. I could use the blessing now and then. Hey, I went through a season back years ago. I was in between jobs. Actually, one job was kind of phasing out. I was still employed, mind you, but I could see the writing on the wall. That company was going under, and I wanted to jump ship quick. But I knew better than to just jump. You wait on the Lord. Amen? Don't just jump. Wait till he says jump. Amen? Do it his way. Jump at the right time. You'll land in the right place. And so I waited and waited and prayed and prayed. Praise the Lord. And God supplied. Praise the Lord. I don't know where I was going. I just kind of fell off the boat there. But anyways, there's a right time to jump. There's a right time to jump. God wants to bless you financially. He wants to go beyond that. He wants to bless you in every way. And why is that? It all goes back to my Easter message, because of justification. You and I have been justified. We have been cleared of all guilt. Cleared of all guilt. There's a proverb that says, righteousness delivers from death even. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
You can't pay enough. You can't pay a ransom enough. You know, if death's coming your way, you better have righteousness on your side. Yes. There were people on 9/11 that instinctively, by the Spirit of God, they were told, don't go to work today. Mm-hmm. Sleep in. Call in, you know, call into your boss, say you can't make it. Righteousness will deliver you from death. They weren't in that tower when it fell because they listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Righteousness will deliver you. Amen? Abraham was blessed in every way. So I really want to focus on the every way part, because there's so many blessings that God wants to pour on us. He just wants to unleash blessing upon us. And it's all because of what Jesus did. Amen? Now, we talk about this. You probably heard it. If you've been around church at any length of time, you've heard this phrase, the blessing of Abraham. How many of you ever heard of that? Amen. The blessing of Abraham, that term. I don't want there to be any confusion in your mind what that is, what when we say the blessing of Abraham. Because obviously in this verse here, it kind of sums it up, doesn't it? It says Abraham was blessed in every way. And he was well stricken in age. I love it. And healthy. Amen. Still virile in his old age and strong. Amen. But he was blessed in every way. But I want to be specific about the blessing of Abraham. We don't have time to turn there. Let me just quote it for you. Back in Genesis 15, a few chapters back, it says that God took Abraham out of his tent and he said, look up in the heavens, and if you can count the stars, this is what your seed will be like. You know, and that must have been wonderful. You know, back in the Middle East, you know, out away from city lights and all that stuff, you could see every star in the universe, you know, out there in the deserts. And that's what Abraham saw. He saw just jillions of stars, if jillions is a real number. But he saw a bunch of them, amen? And God said, this is what your seed will be like. And the scripture says in Genesis 15:6, Abram believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God promised him kids, and he got righteousness to boot. And he got the kids too, right? Isaac and all the downline. What an amazing God. He's so ready to bless us. This is the blessing of Abraham. What is the blessing of Abraham? It's righteousness by faith. Abraham believed a promise about having kids in his old age. And God said, because you believe me, I'm so touched. I'm not only going to give you those kids, I'm going to credit you as if you were like me. If I can say it this way respectfully, as if you're like God. You're totally right. You're totally in right standing. In other words, if you stood before me right now, Abraham, I would consider you sinless. Think about it. That's amazing, isn't it? He just believed a promise about kids, about having kids in his old age. And God said, I'm going to consider you righteous. That's how important faith is to God. And this is the essence, this is the heart of the new covenant, folks, in case you don't know it. The new covenant says this: you believe on Jesus and you'll be declared righteous.
Yes.
That's what we preached last Sunday, justification, right? Mm-hmm. Believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was sinless, that he died for your sins, that he rose again as a statement that God had accepted the sacrifice and had acquitted your record. That is the blessing of Abraham, the righteousness that comes by faith. Let me put it this way. Righteousness puts you and I on the ground of being blessed in every other area. The blessing of Abraham, righteousness by faith, puts us on blessing ground.
Hallelujah.
Why do I have a right to claim healing for my body? Because I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. Why do I have a right to have peace in my heart? Because I'm righteous by the blood. Amen?
Amen.
Not because I'm perfect in my behavior.
Right.
I blow it every day. I don't know about you, but I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
In some way, I'm gonna trip. Especially the days I try the hardest.
Yeah.
Right? Because when we get, and we'll talk about this next week, I believe. When we try our hardest, we're getting under law.
Yes.
Effort.
Mm-hmm.
So much to say about that. I won't go there today. Anyways. Righteousness puts us on blessing ground. Say that with me. Righteousness puts us on blessing ground. Now, generations later, God was talking to Moses. He gave him the Ten Commandments. He gave him the books of the law. I'm just about to finish Deuteronomy myself in my Old Testament readings. Deuteronomy in chapter 28, he talks about the blessings that would come to Israel if they obeyed the law. Now, that's different from Abraham. Abraham didn't have to keep a law. Abraham just believed a promise. Are you with me? That's what you and I do. We believe a promise. Somebody came to us with the gospel and said, Jesus died for your sins. That's a promise. And we believe that message, and all of a sudden we are declared righteous. That's the way Abraham got it. But in Moses' time, they had to obey a law. Look over there in Deuteronomy real quick with me. Deuteronomy 28. Look at the first verse of that chapter. Deuteronomy 28, 1. Excuse me, Deuteronomy 28:11. I'm sorry, not the first verse. That was from chapter 24. Deuteronomy 28:11. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'm going to share some other translations with you. Deuteronomy 28:11. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Let's stop right there. That's the King James. Let me share with you some other translations, what they say. This is God's promise. If they would keep the law, if Israel as a nation would abide by every law in the old covenant, God said this, I'll make you plenteous in goods. That's the King James, the way it reads. Listen to the way the Message translation reads. God will lavish you with good things.
Yes, he will.
I like that. That's a little more descriptive, don't you think? God will lavish you with good things. How many of you would like to be lavished with good things?
Yes.
I like to think of it like this. I was going to title my message this, Unexpected Blessings, but I think I titled it a little bit. Let me see what the title is today. Hold on. Zach will need this. Blessed in all things. Blessed in all things. So that's the title. But I was going to title it Unexpected Blessings, because when God says, I'll lavish on you good things, these are things we didn't even see coming.
Yeah.
Ever had your kid do something for you? You didn't see it coming, right? You know, sent you a gift when you weren't expecting it. You know, they called you and said, hey, you know, I love you, mom and dad. Or just an unexpected kind of a joy came your way. That's an unexpected blessing. That's what God's talking about here when he says, I'll lavish you. Let me read it again. I'll lavish you with good things. That's the Message translation of Deuteronomy 28:11. The modern English version says this, you will overflow with prosperity. I like that picture. I like the picture of God just deluging me. Is that a word? A deluge of blessings coming my way. Amen? This is what God is promising. But see, in Moses' day, they had to keep a law in order to get it. Aren't you glad we're under a different covenant, a different arrangement? What is our arrangement? We simply believe. We believe. I'm jumping ahead because I got to get there. Romans 5:17 says, those who receive the abundance of grace. What is receiving? It means just believing it in your heart. Taking it in. And the gift of righteousness will reign in life. How do you get that deluge? How do you get that overflowing prosperity? How do you get that going in your life? By believing. By believing. Let's look at a few more scriptures, just some language of scripture, how much God wants to bless us. Turn over to Psalm 81. Psalm 81, verse 13. You still with me?
Yes.
I hope you want this. Let me say this. I don't know where it is in my notes. I'm skipping around. Okay. The only blessings of your covenant that that will do you any good are the ones you know about and believe. That's why we come to church, to find out what's in the covenant. Amen. God raises up pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, teachers, apostles, to bring forth the revelation of what is yours. You don't come to church to please God. You come to church because you're pleasing to God.
Yes.
So you're here today to learn about what is God promising you. Because the only blessings, the only covenant blessings that will do you any good are the ones you know about and apply your faith to. That's what we're doing right now. We're learning what is ours. And we're applying our faith to it. Amen?
Amen.
So Psalm 81, are you there?
Yep.
Verse 13. Oh, that my people would hearken unto me. What is that? It's just listening to God, right? That's what I'm talking about. Come to church to listen to God's promises. Oh, that my people would hearken to me and that Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. In other words, their punishment would go on and on, talking about the enemies of Israel. Look at the last verse there in Psalm 81, verse 16. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat. I love that phrase. And with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. God says here, I'll give you the best. He said, if you'll just listen, you'll eat the finest wheat. You ever had good bread? Oh, man. Right? Good food starts with good ingredients. And God says, I'll give you the finest ingredients to satisfy you with. You know, it's one thing to just have food in our belly, right? It'll keep us going. But it's another thing with that food. When it was going down, it tasted great. Isn't that nice? And he says this too, with honey from the rock. See, apparently there were places in Israel in the clefts of the rock, in the mountains, in the mountain topography, that the bees would go in there and make their nest in the cleft of the rock.
Amen.
And there'd just be honey dripping. I got to think, what's the advantage of that? Well, if they made their nest in the tree and there was a big storm, it might blow the hive down. But in the cleft of the rock, the hive remains.
Amen.
The sweetness remains. Yeah. The goodness remains. Aren't you glad? Yeah. God wants to give us blessings that will stay. Staying power, amen? It's one thing to get a new car and then the next week you get in a car wreck. That's no good. That's not staying power. We want that honey to be hidden in the cleft of the rock so we can enjoy its sweetness at all times, amen? And God says, if you just listen to me, I give you this. If you're taking notes, note this reference, you can look it up later. Genesis 47:6. When Jacob appeared before Pharaoh, Jacob is the father of Joseph. Remember in the 12 brothers? The brothers sold Joseph into slavery in Egypt. And Joseph forgave his brothers and brought the whole family to Egypt to be blessed, right? Because they were dying in Canaan land and in the famine. And he brought his father, Jacob, before the Pharaoh. This is an awesome scene. This would make a great movie right here. Great scene in the movie. And Pharaoh says, I'm offering you the best of the land. You got that verse? Genesis 47:6. This is what Pharaoh said to Jacob and to Joseph and all his family. The land of Egypt's before you. In the best of the land, make your father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, he said, I'll pick it for you. The best place. The land of Goshen, let them dwell. God says this to his people. He says, I'm giving you the best land. Jesus said it this way in John 10:10. I've come to give you life abundantly.
Yeah.
Going back to Genesis 24:1, what Abraham was blessed in every way possible. Folks, this is yours in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm here to tell you today.
Yeah.
If you'll take it.
Yes.
God wants you to be blessed in every way. You say, well, won't that make me selfish? Not if you understand why it's coming your way. It won't. It's all coming because of Jesus.
Amen.
Sent courtesy of Jesus. That really ought to be the note. Every time a blessing comes our way, we ought to, in a sense, read that note with every good thing that comes our way. Sent courtesy of Jesus. I died on the cross so you could have this. I suffered in my body for 6 grueling hours so you could enjoy this. That's how much he loves us, folks. It won't make you selfish. It'll make you a giver of those blessings. Right? We teach in this church that God wants you rich. What is rich? Generous able.
Yes.
Generous able. See, if your needs aren't met, you can't help meet the needs of other people. But if you got your bases covered, then you can start finding other things to do with your money. And that's what we ought to be doing. Amen? Time is short.
Amen.
There was an earthquake in New York the other day. Guess you hadn't heard. Time is short. The time for doing good deeds is running out.
Mm-hmm.
Load up your account.
Yeah.
Every time you do a good deed, in the Lord, you're storing up treasures in heaven, the Bible teaches us. Amen? It's time to do it. But you can only overflow to others as you are blessed, as your needs are supplied. Amen? And I'm telling you, folks, if you'll get a hold of this today, God wants to bless you in every way. The finest of the land, Pharaoh said. He said in Psalm 81, the finest of the wheat, the honey in the rock. I'm telling you, if I moved to some obscure country in Africa, the Congo, let's say. I just picked one. I don't know anything about the Congo, but let's just say I moved to the Congo. I'm telling you, no matter where I go on the earth, because I believe in the blessing of Abraham, the best of that area are going to come to me.
That's right. Yeah.
They may not sell Haagen-Dazs down at the local mart, but I'll get the finest goat milk.
Yeah.
I can make my own ice cream. Haagen-Dazs. In the Congo. You know, Haagen-Dazs is not a real word. I don't know if you studied it out, but it was an interesting story. A Polish Jew wanted to pay homage to how good the Danish treated the Jews during World War II. And so he sat around at his kitchen table. His daughter said this later in the story. He sat around for hours and thought up a name that would kind of have a catchy, you know, feel to it, but it really wasn't a word. And so he thought up Haagen-Dazs. I think it's pretty great. More than that, it's just really good ice cream. Amen? But the point is, wherever you go in the world, the blessing of God can come to you. It doesn't matter where you're at. That's why we got to preach this everywhere, Sister Brenda. You know, some people say, well, you don't want to go to a persecuted country like China or a suffering country and try to teach them about, you know, being prosperous. No, we do. We do. This blessing is for all believers. And you can be in the poorest country in the world and all of a sudden your chickens flourish better than the farmer next door, you know, or whatever. They produce more eggs or, like I said, goat's milk, whatever it is. The blessing comes. God will find a way to get the blessing your way. Why? It's all because signed courtesy of Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Courtesy of Jesus. Now listen, you're going to have to get over yourself. A poverty mindset says, I don't deserve this. Really?
Right.
Really? That's a sin consciousness. Sin consciousness reminds you of how undeserving you are of the blessing. I'm telling you, every one of you in here, you're born to be rich.
Amen.
I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about you're born to be overflowing in every way.
Yes.
The world should look at us and go, what do you have that I don't have? I've got more money than you. I've got more boats than you. I've got more cars than you. But you got something on you that's different.
Yeah.
It's called the blessing of Abraham. It's being blessed in every way,
yes.
Not just materially.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It means your kids do right.
Amen.
It means you have peace at night. You know, you can't pay enough money for sleep. You could take drugs for sleep, and that helps sometimes if it doesn't have a backfire effect. But I'm telling you, Jesus can give you peace. Psalm 23, in case you don't know it, it is the divine tranquilizer.
Yes.
Memorize it.
Yes.
Imagine David on the hills plucking, you know, one of his first harps. The Bible says later when he became king, he invented musical instruments for the worshipers. I love to think that he used his money for that. It's kind of cool. But David, I like to imagine him on that hillside with the first harp he ever bought from his sheep, you know, shepherding. Probably a really, you know, lame, out of tune sounding harp, but he did his best with it. And here is on the hillside writing Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me in the sun. And before you know it, you're out cold. I'm telling you, memorize it. That psalm will put you to sleep. It's God's rest pill for you. You can't put a price on that. Signed, courtesy of Jesus.
Amen.
Because of what we celebrated last Sunday, you and I can have peace when we lay down at night. That's being blessed in all things. So it's not just money, but we believe in being blessed in money in this church. Amen. What makes it all possible? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. We'll wrap up with this. I get excited preaching on this subject because, you know, for so many years, Terry and I were poor. I wouldn't say dirt poor, but we were pretty poor. If there's different levels, Brother Ben. We were needy. We had a 4-cylinder car that ran on about 2 cylinders by the time we got rid of that car at the very end. It was not a pretty death. That car was hurting. And you know what? Honestly, I gotta tell you, that car died during a season when I was kind of waffling on tithing. Just saying.
Amen.
You might want to keep that tithe consistent. Your cars will run a little better.
That's right.
But we've been there.
Yeah.
So what I'm preaching about, what I'm talking to you about, when I even hint on material blessings, I've lived this, folks. Yeah. We moved back to Alvin in 1996. We were struggling so bad. And we lived in a, God blessed us. We did better than an apartment. We got into this mobile home behind Jack in the Box. It's not even there anymore, so don't go looking for it. It's gone. It fell apart. They had to haul it off. But we lived there 3 years. Us and these big roaches. It was terrible. But it was better than an apartment, I tell you. It was very terrible. And there was a season in my life where people were bringing me groceries on my doorstep. That'll humble you real quick. So I've come from that. I'm telling you, when I preach on this subject, I get excited because I know where I've come from.
Amen.
And what God's done for me.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. None of us are called to poverty. You know the worst thing about poverty? The worst thing about lack financially. Honestly, this, if you're here in here today, I'm not laughing about this. This is a serious matter. When people struggle financially, the biggest thing that is the slur is their dignity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their dignity.
True.
Because the Bible says in Psalm 8, it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? You crowned him with glory and honor. Listen, there's no glory and honor in poverty. And your halo starts to, you know, the light starts to flicker when you're struggling in poverty. When you're struggling financially, you don't feel glory and honor in your life. And God wants dignity for all of us. Amen? I'm not talking about a number. You don't have to make a certain amount a year to feel dignity. Whatever the amount is to you, God knows your number, and you know your number. But God wants dignity in your life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
He covers our nakedness till we get fully clothed. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Are you there?
Yes.
We'll close with this. For he hath made him. Oh, what an awesome description of the gospel. He, God, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Blows the mind. Boggles the mind. How can the God of the universe make Jesus, the sinless Son of God, to become sin? Jesus, you know, I want to point this out. Jesus didn't have to commit sin to be made sin. Aren't you glad? This was a work of redemption. It was the great exchange. In fact, that word, when it says God made him, that word made in the Greek is actually the word from which we get our word poem. It's P-O-I-E-O, poieo, I guess is how you'd say it in Greek, or poieo. I don't, how would you say it, Daniel? Oh, thanks. Poieo. I sound pretty Greek today. It's the word we get our word poem from. This is the great love poem of redemption right here, this verse. God made. Jesus was God's poetic expression. He was God's poetic masterpiece. He was made sin for us so we could be made the righteousness of God in him. I love what the notes say in the Passion Translation. This is a footnote for the Passion Translation. Listen to this. It'll bless you. This one verse is perhaps the greatest verse in the New Testament to describe our salvation. A wonderful divine exchange took place at the cross. All our sins were left there, and we walked away with all of God's righteousness. Every believer today possesses the perfect and complete righteousness of Christ. We are seen by the Father as righteous as his Son. That'll make you spiritually drunk for a couple hours right there. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You are as righteous as his Son.
Amen.
Let me put it this way. You are as deserving as his Son. That ought to make us not arrogant, but humbled. How can I, a still faulty human being, be as righteous as his Son? Be as deserving of blessing and good things as his Son? But folks, this is the gospel. That's why Jesus said, I'm bringing it to the poor first up. It's good news to the poor. You're deserving of blessing. I'm looking at a room full of deserved people. Now, that's not entitlement. Now, our world teaches you, your house ought to be my house. That's called entitlement. That's a bad attitude. No, but this is based on the atonement, the sacrifice of Jesus. It's based on this great exchange we just read in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And God says, because of what Jesus did, you're now worthy of every blessing. Can you see the love of God?
Yes.
How driven, how dedicated, how determined he was to open the way to give to us the same love he feels toward his Son. It's amazing. It's the amazing grace, amazing gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let me give you one last verse. One more last verse, all right? Revelation 5. You got to go there with me. It's just too good to pass up. It's like, you know, you don't need that bite of dessert after lunch. In fact, you really don't have much room in your stomach for it. But you're just going to pile in one more bite, right? So I'm just going to give you one more verse here. Revelation 5:12. Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, these are the angels, all the voices of angels in heaven, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing." We're very familiar with that verse, and we believe it. Jesus is worthy of all these things. But I want to connect this verse to what we just read in 2 Corinthians 5. What did it say? There's been an exchange. God made him to be our sin, and he made us his righteousness. Now, I don't say this sacrilegiously, but in a sense, Revelation 5:12 is talking about us as well. It says there, Jesus is worthy to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. Folks, I'm telling you, it's all yours. You need wisdom? You step into a dark place, you go, "I don't know what to do." Don't just stand around and talk about what you don't know. Just look up to heaven and say, "I need the wisdom, Father." And believe for it. The Apostle James says, when you ask, don't waver. And the minute he tells you what to do, just do it. That's the wisdom of God. And you deserve it because the Lamb was slain for you. When it says, worthy is the Lamb to receive these things, in a sense, Jesus has put us in his place. We could say Jesus is deserving to receive wisdom, strength, honor, glory, riches, right? He's deserving of all these things. Folks, God has lifted you and I to that place of deserving these things in Christ. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. You could say, in a sense, worthy are we to receive? Because in any wealth that comes from God, riches, wisdom, strength, all these things, we know they're undeserved. Now, if you're really good in business and you can go out and just do all this by your own strength, more power to you. But for the rest of us, we just have to receive it by faith.
That's right.
And Jesus has put us in that deserving place. I'm not saying we are worshipped. We're not worshipped like Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I'm not misinterpreting this verse. I understand. He is the worthy one. But he has elevated us in Christ. Ephesians 3:8 says, I've come to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. What is Paul saying? I'm telling you what you are now in Christ. Colossians 1:12 says, he has qualified us to share in the inheritance. It's a shared inheritance. Jesus really is the worthy one, but God has put us positionally in Christ. You're qualified. Need a boost financially? Need a raise this year? You're qualified. Your boss may not think so, but Jesus does. God the Father does. It won't be the first time God takes an ignoramus and really makes a wise man out of him. God's done it many times in the kingdom. You're qualified. If you're the most uneducated person in this room, you're qualified to become a genius. Hey, Solomon was nothing before he prayed. What did he say? He said, "God, I don't know how to lead these people, your people Israel. I'm young, I'm a child." And God's just waiting for him to ask. "Give me wisdom." God says, "It's yours." He gives liberally to all men. Where you're weak, he comes in with his strength and he floods you. He's waiting to flood you. I want to say this about resurrection. The word resurrection, since last Sunday was Easter, just kind of a little footnote to last Sunday. The word resurrect in the Greek is anastasios. Anastasios. Anna means again. Stasios. It's from the Greek, okay? Stasios. It means to stand. To stand again. Maybe you failed at life. Maybe you failed in this endeavor or that endeavor. Maybe you tried a business and it didn't work. Maybe you've tried to be righteous. You've tried to do right in your family. You've tried to be a good father, a good mother, a good husband, good wife, and you failed time and time again. Resurrection power is yours. To stand again. I like what Rick Renner described it. He called it standing power. Because of Jesus, we're given standing power. Amen? Would you stand together with me this morning? I could go on and on and on. When you get to talking about what's been given to us in Christ, the riches that are ours in Christ, this solves the problems, folks. This is why we don't just open up a soup kitchen as a church. Now, if God leads us to, he tells us that's our lane, we'll do it that quick. And we'll serve some of the best soup in the soup kitchen industry. Why? Because we believe in the good stuff. But I'm telling you, the answers that society is crying out for are found in what we just heard this morning. The riches of Christ. God has put us in the position of receiving his highest blessing because of what Jesus did in our justification. Amen? Aren't you glad? So much more to say about it. There'll be another part. So praise the Lord. Come back next week. Remember the lesson of Thomas. Don't miss church. You might miss an appearing of Jesus. And the devil wants you to miss church. I'm just telling you. There's some awesome things happening here. I don't say this for job security. You'd expect a preacher to say that, right? Come to church. It's for you. We could sit for another 4 or 5 hours. I could just yield the microphone and hear testimony after testimony what God's been doing in your lives in the last several years as you've heard what's yours in Christ. Yes. It's amazing. Terry and I stand amazed every week. We talk about what God's doing in this person's life or that person's life. It's amazing. As the gospel's going forth, it lifts society. And folks, you're here. I know you got family members that are hurting. You got friends and relatives. You go, man, if they just... You do it, and they'll follow you.
Yes, amen.
You do it. You walk in it. They'll follow you. Go back and get them later. That's what Bill Winston says. Go back and get them later. But you walk in it. You're here today because God destines you to hear this gospel message and to be lifted and to rise to a place where you say, Lord, I know I don't deserve it in myself, but pour on the riches. Lord, I know I'm a fool in many areas. Pour on the wisdom. Lord, I'm so weak in this area. Pour on the strength. Worthy is the Lamb to receive it all. And you're in the Lamb. You're in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you today for the promises. And even as you declare them to Abraham, our father, the father of faith, so we believe what you've promised us in Christ Jesus. And so I thank you right now for the lifting that's come. I thank you for the seed that's been deposited, the hope. Folks, I'm telling you today, if you come in here without hope, God can change your life. Some of you can walk away from here today and the seed that's been sown is enough to lift you to a status of being a millionaire in the business world.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
There's millionaires in the house if you'll take it by faith and allow God to do it. Allow him to lead you in it. He'll give you business ideas like the Weed Eater or Haagen-Dazs. It doesn't matter. He'll do it for you if you'll receive it. It's all in Christ. It's been given in Christ. God loves us. He's blessed us in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not born again. I need to accept Jesus in my heart. I'm not a Christian, but I like to believe on Jesus today. Or I've been away from God and I'm coming back to God today. I've been out of fellowship and I'm like that prodigal son in the story Jesus told who came running home to his father and said, if I can just be a servant in your house. And the father wouldn't have it. He embraced him. And he welcomed him as a son. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to come back to the Holy Father. I need to give my life and surrender to him. Or I need to be born again for the first time. If that's you, raise your hand real quick. We're going to pray a prayer, give you the opportunity to be saved today. Don't leave here without your ticket to heaven. Don't leave here without a confidence in knowing that you've been born again and you have Jesus in your life. Anybody at all, raise your hand and we're going to pray a prayer together to allow Jesus to come in and become your Lord today. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Father, let's just pray this prayer together. Dear God,
thank you for sending Jesus.
Heaven's greatest riches,
to this impoverished
earth,
to me, a sinner.
Thank you for the gift of righteousness.
You give me in your Son.
I believe Jesus was your Son.
He came to earth,
died in my place,
and
rose again on the third day
to testify of my justification.
Thank you for saving me, Father.
Thank you for
washing my sins in the blood of Jesus.
Thank you for making me your child.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Be blessed today. Be confident in your blessing. It's not because of anything you deserve. It's because of what Jesus did for you. Amen. If there's anyone here you also want to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Terry and I will stick around for a few more minutes. We want you to don't leave here. If you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, your prayer language is waiting you today. Amen. And you want to be prayed for that? Come on up. We're going to pray for you. You're going to receive today in Jesus' name. Amen.